Sunday Evangelium with Father Andrew Pinsent on the Trinity.
Today, Trinity Sunday, we celebrate the central mystery of the Christian faith. When we ask, what is God? We answer that God is one. When we ask, who is God? We answer that God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This mystery of one God and three persons is hidden in the Old Testament, like the sun shining behind a cloud, and is revealed in the Trinitarian formulas of the New Testament, such as the conclusion of today's second reading. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Yet speaking about the Trinity is notoriously difficult. In today's brief homily, I want to explore briefly why speaking about the Trinity is difficult, and what approaches can be fruitful. First, it is difficult to speak about the Trinity because the way we normally know about things, by forming representations, fails to work for the Trinity. In science, for example, we construct models in order to capture what is most important about some phenomenon. By constructing a model, we tame what is strange and reduce it to what is familiar. For the Trinity, by contrast, this approach fails because we cannot construct an adequate conceptual model of the Trinity. Although representations of the Trinity in art capture partial aspects of the Trinity revealed, no single representation is adequate, because we cannot take a God's eye view of God, even in our imaginations. Furthermore, the kinds of concepts which we are accustomed to use also prove inadequate. Most philosophy over the past 25 centuries has been inspired either by geometry and mathematics, or by the study of natures and living things. But a philosophy of mathematics fails in the case of the Trinity. Even when we say that the Trinity is three persons, we don't mean three members of a class, like three apples in a barrel, because each person has unique relations. Similarly, a philosophy of natures is also inadequate, since although persons are living, not all living things are persons. Since we do not have an adequate philosophy of persons, our conceptual tools break down. So when philosophers discuss the Trinity, the best that they can usually manage to do is to reject false conceptions, like cleaning the dross away from silver, rather than penetrating to the heart of the mystery directly. Second, as an alternative to speaking about the Trinity, it is at least possible, and usually somewhat easier, to highlight some of the fruits of the Trinity. The Trinity is a unity that involves a distinction of persons united in love, and this understanding of God has clearly left an imprint on our civilization. The pagan families of ancient Rome were unified under the solitary and absolute power of the Father, the Pater Familias. Such associations, like their modern neo-pagan counterparts, were united by considerations of mutual benefit. By contrast, the Christian family, or at least the ideal Christian family sustained by grace and prayer, is personal and relational, like the very nature of the God we worship, a trinity of persons of whom we can affirm that God is love. Similarly, in political life, foundational concepts like a distinction of powers in government witness to a Trinitarian principle of unity and distinction in the Godhead. Such conceptions fit naturally within Christianity, but are by no means present in all cultures shaped by monotheism. So the fruits of the Trinity can be seen in the institutions of our civilization, such as the Christian family and society. Yet finally, what God most wants is not for us to know about him, important though that is, or even to know what knowledge of him has done for the world. What God most wants is for us to know him. And on this point, a distinction should be made between knowing about persons and knowing persons. In recent decades, we have learned a great deal about what it means to know persons, especially by studying cases in which knowledge of persons seems to fail or be inhibited. Of special interest, for example, is the case of autistic spectrum disorder, which can be characterized as an inhibition in knowing persons, as opposed to merely knowing about persons. Autism is, of course, a state of innocence, but it is a state that can help to teach us a great deal. Indeed, after years of studying what Aquinas wrote about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I have concluded tentatively that the best way of thinking about what they do is that they help to remove a condition we are all born with, namely, our spiritual autism. It is only by these gifts of grace that we can enjoy a supernatural life in which we are moved by God as by a second person, and we can come to know and love the persons of God. Perhaps this is why Trinity comes after the celebration of Pentecost. So in conclusion, human reason can help to clear away erroneous conceptions of the Trinity, like cleaning the dross from silver. And it is also possible to trace the fruits of the Trinity for our civilization. But to know the Holy Trinity personally, we need ourselves to become holy.